from the Hill Country of Texas, this is One Radio Network.
And a very pleasant good day to you. We have a special program for you. We're excited about it. It's July 14th, 2009. And we've tracked down a fellow that feels like an old friend, even though I've really never met Eustace Mullins. We had the opportunity to talk with him about 5-6 years ago, KLBJ Radio. Been a fan, have three or four of his books sitting on my bookshelf. And we tracked him down. He's in a small hotel somewhere in the Northeast. And his name is Eustace Mullins. Mr. Mullins, a very good day to you, sir, and glad you're feeling better.
Oh, I'm feeling very good, thank you.
You had a bit of a stroke, a couple years ago?
Yeah, it affected my legs a little bit, but I walk with a walker and do very well.
Uh-huh. You're a trooper, right? You're a survivor. They're not going to get you down.
No, not now. Not for another 50 years.
Attaboy. Eustace Mullins was in the trenches before it was cool with the Federal Reserve. 1949, he hung around with Ezra Pound, who was in jail for getting a little bit too feisty with his information. Mr. Mullins used to spend many days and nights in the library, not like today where you go on the internet. And he has many, many books that he has written over the years and was the real trailblazer for the work about the world order and the Federal Reserve. His books, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, The World Order, The Rape of Justice, Murder by Injection, The Cure of Curse of Canaan, and The Writ for Martyrs are six of the books that we're going to tell you how you might be able to get. So trying to figure out a way how to get them to you at a very good price. Well, Mr. Mullins, you are traveling the country now, is that right? And what's going on in your life today in July?
I have been traveling the country quite a bit, but I'm settled down right now in Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach?
Virginia Beach, a resort area.
Uh-huh.
And a big naval base.
And the federales are leaving you alone for the moment?
Oh, yes, they are. They still have my phone and interrupt sometimes, but I learned to live with it.
Yeah. How can you tell your phone is tapped?
Oh, you hear all these strange noises.
You just hear them?
It picks up everything.
Really? You'd think after all these years that they'd leave you alone. I mean, you've written all these books. They're all out there. I mean, what are they going to learn now? I mean...
Well, James Hoover stopped surveilling me about 6 years ago.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yes. And he also took his wraps off on Ezra Pound. He was no longer investigating him.
Oh, the FBI.
Yeah.
The FBI.
Well, they prepared an elaborate case against him, and they flew about a dozen people over from Italy who had watched him broadcast on Radio Rome. And they're going to have these people testify against him. But they never did.
They never did.
Well, there was no trial. Because they had no evidence.
What was the original charge or accusation against your mentor, Ezra Pound, back around 1950?
Well, there were actually 9 counts of aiding and comfort the enemy.
Oh.
And that's the 9 counts he was charged on. But the... at the last minute, the U.S. Department of Justice dropped all the accounts, and his final hearing was no testimony whatsoever.
Really? And how long was he in prison?
13 years.
13 years.
Oh, yeah.
My God.
And I was there most of the time with him.
Where are you?
So I got my time in the insane asylum, too.
And they had him in an insane asylum?
Yes.
My God.
The San Elizabeth Federal Hospital for the Insane in Washington, D.C.
Ah. And Eustace Mullins, at the time, they were just angry with him because of what he was writing about what?
Well, he was writing and speaking about for us to stay out of World War II.
I see.
Which Charles Lindbergh was broadcasting on America First for the same thing.
And Mr. Lindbergh was also saying some very curious things in the Senate, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. Well, his father had opposed the original passing of the Federal Reserve Act in 1913.
Mm-hmm.
And he led the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
He was a congressman from Wisconsin.
Yes. And then didn't Mr. Lindbergh have a curious death?
Have a curious what?
Death?
No, he didn't. They sabotaged his plane. He was flying his father around from Minnesota to Washington during the hearings, and the plane crashed, but they weren't injured.
Oh, they weren't injured?
No, no. They sabotaged the plane somehow.
It seems, Mr. Mullins, that the powers that be like to use the aircraft model.
Yes, I'd love to get somebody in the airplane.
That's like, they use that one a lot, don't they? We shouldn't laugh about it, but they do.
Well, they had some very unfortunate accidents to found senators in Washington who were flying somewhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You don't want to fly in an airplane when you have these guys against you in a private plane.
They know all about airplanes.
They know how to do them.
I was in the Air Force myself during World War II.
Yeah. Eustace Mullins, here we are in 2009, and there's a lot of talk, and especially on the Internet, as you know, about the Federal Reserve, and Ron Paul is trying to get them.
Oh, there is. You know, the papers never used to print to mention the Federal Reserve System.
Is this surprising to you that this much information is out there now?
It's very surprising, and a lot of opinions are being expressed. Ron Paul is calling for the abolition of the Federal Reserve System. But I told him, you don't need to abolish it because all you do is change the name.
Yeah, just take it over.
It's Paul Warburg's suggestion that it can be called the Federal Reserve System so that people would think it's part of the government. And it's not part of the government because the government has never owned one share of Federal Reserve stock.
Never. So that's your idea, and others have said the same. Rather than abolish it, just take it over.
Oh, yes.
Just take it over. So then the profits for this thing that they have to create money and monetize debt can be used for the people.
Well, it should be used for the people. That's what the original Constitution provided, that the Congress should provide money for trade and commerce.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But that never came to pass.
Now, in the original Constitution, Eustace Mullins, is it your understanding that this idea of creating money out of thin air and putting it out there when you have a debt instrument to monetize debt like they do now, would you think that is, quote, constitutional, unquote?
Well, it is constitutional because it's in the Constitution. And what it does, it gives the Federal Reserve System permission to print fiat currency.
Mm-hmm.
And fiat currency is essentially a counterfeit currency. It has no value.
Right. But the Constitution, what did it propose, your understanding, why it was put in there at the time?
Well, this idea of creating money out of nothing was original with the Federal Reserve System, has been in effect since 1913.
Yes. But before then, did the framers have, did they just want to have money backed by gold and that was it?
Well, they were providing that currency should be provided for trade and commerce. But somehow a private bank got into the act, and it's been a private bank ever since.
Yeah.
And the first thing they did, you know, once they passed the Federal Reserve Act, they shut down the United States Treasury.
So in 1913, they actually shut down the Treasury.
Oh, yes.
Huh.
Well, the Federal Reserve Act provides that the U.S. Treasury is no longer the primary fiscal agent of the American government. It's been shut down ever since.
That was in the small print.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then,
the American people never knew that. They don't even know it today.
Yeah, they don't know it today. So what then is Mr. Geithner's job today? I mean, what the hell is he doing?
Mr. Paulson?
Geithner, the Treasury Secretary.
Oh, the Treasury Secretary. Well, the dude is a pro forma. And he has no duties.
He has no duties?
Oh, no.
He
has the title, but no duties.
Uh-huh. Because the Federal Reserve banks are controlling the game.
Well, they are, and the U.S. Congress allows them to do anything they want to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No supervision and no interference of any kind.
But the Congress has the power, Eustace Mullins, to to change this if they wanted to.
Oh, Section 34 of the Federal Reserve Act provides that Congress retains the rights to alter our...
So it's Section 34 of the Federal Reserve Act.
Yes.
And it says what, Eustace Mullins?
Congress retains the rights to alter or ban the Federal Reserve Act at any time.
At any time.
And that has been in there, but no congressman has ever touched it.
And it's, once again, it's...
Because Congress provided that the Federal Reserve System should operate without any supervision or interference with Congress. They insisted on that protocol.
Uh-huh.
And it's been in effect ever since. In fact, there have never been any hearings in Congress on the Federal Reserve Act since 1913.
Never been any hearings.
And most people never heard of the Federal Reserve System. They don't even know it exists.
Well, what do you make of the idea of Congressman Paul's idea to audit it? I'm a bit concerned about that because I just have the feeling, maybe I'm just too cynical, that even if that passes, that they're just going to tell us what they want to tell us anyway. What do you think?
Well, according to the present setup, they are totally independent, have no supervision whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
They can print as much money as they want to,
mm-hmm.
and that goes right into the currency. You know, China, at the present time, has debt of $367 trillion, which is part of the national debt. And the Chinese are very worried about it because they look for the Federal Reserve System to shut down at any time.
So
they want to unload this somehow.
So China has how much debt?
$367 trillion. And Japan has $9 trillion.
And who do they owe the 367 to? Different bondholders of their notes?
The Federal Reserve currency is a debt instrument. It's a promise to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that every bill that they print becomes part of the national debt.
Mm-hmm.
And the American people are responsible for it.
Yes. I don't understand the $367 trillion in Chinese debt you referred to, Eustace Mullins. Can you explain that?
Well, that's the amount of the national debt.
For China?
Well, with anyone. It's all in under one figure.
Oh, you mean that's all the money that the different, all the countries owe?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I know that's a huge number. So what does that mean for those of us who use dollars, in your opinion?
We just accept that because every dollar that's printed by the Federal Reserve System becomes an addition to the national debt. So when Congress allows the printing of unlimited currency, that means the national debt goes up
that much higher.
Exponentially.
Yeah. And we the people, continuously pay interest on this debt, even though we'll never pay.
There's interest. There's an interesting aspect to this. The Bureau of Printing and Engraving, which prints our money, is part of the U.S. Holocaust Museum. And the U.S. Holocaust Museum gets 50% of all the profits of money printed by the Bureau of Printing and Engraving.
The Bureau of Printing and Engraving, the people that do the actual dollars?
Oh, yes.
All dollars. Not the electronic currency, but the dollars?
No, it's a printing bureau. It's all it is, a printing plant.
Uh-huh. And the Holocaust Museum gets a portion of that?
Oh, yes.
And why is that?
Well, they just made an arrangement.
The current owners of the Federal Reserve are, they're the big banks, right, Eustace Mullins, like the Goldman, Citigroup, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, and all those. Is that correct?
Yes, they all have a sizable interest. See, in 1914, when the stock was offered for sale, it was immediately all snapped up by the insiders. And then it became a total monopoly because The Federal Reserve Act provides that after this cutoff date, no one can buy or sell or trade any share of the Federal Reserve System.
Oh, I see.
And that's been in effect since 1913.
After they bought up all the shares, the powers that be, then nobody else could buy any.
Yeah.
How does the Federal Reserve System tie in with the World Bank and the IMF?
Well, they all work together.
They're all...
It's part of a central bank, and all of the central banks work together.
Uh-huh.
See, the Deutsche Bank and the Bank of the Bank of England, all of them work together.
They're all the same group of people?
Same people who bought the stock in 1913.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a monopoly ever since that time.
And do you think there's any way, Houston Smallones, that these people are ever going to be somehow driven out of power?
No, we won't be driven out of power because they have the private stock of the Federal System, and they get the profits from that.
And then they control the president and the military?
Yeah, the president has no part of this whatsoever.
He's not involved in it at all?
Oh, not at all. So the president of the United States has nothing to say about the Federal Reserve System, which seems kind of odd because the president is supposedly the president of the entire United States. But this untouchable Federal Reserve System means that it has nothing to say about it whatsoever.
Uh-huh. And the Federal Reserve System, as you just said, is worldwide. It's not just the United States.
It's a central bank, and it functions as a central bank.
Mm-hmm. And then are these the people then, Eustace Mullins, that profit from the various wars that are initiated around the world? Same people?
Oh, they get their profits because they got a profit paid to them for every share of Federal Reserve stock, which they have.
So that's how they continue to make their profit as shareholders in this?
They take their profit, and they pay 50% of the profit to the U.S. Holocaust Museum because they share quarters with the Holocaust Museum in Washington.
The Bureau of Printing and Engraving. Do you think it would be possible, Eustace Mullins, if there was a president who was a really good guy, right? Say a Trojan horse. Do you think it would be possible some way that the president with the military could take over the Federal Reserve banks?
Well, I think that the president would have that power because in the Federal Reserve Act, it is not specified that he has any particular Federal Reserve powers. But it may be an avenue that he could follow.
But it might be an idea, Eustace Mullins, that it just would be done out of pure force.
Oh, yeah, it has to be done by force, by decree.
Yeah, he just decrees it and takes it over. But they would probably put up quite a fight, I assume.
Well, they probably would because since 1913, the Congress has always stressed the independence of the Federal Reserve System.
Yeah.
But I personally don't see any real reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
But what they wanted to do is the power to issue money, which is the power of a central bank. All central banks have the power of issue to print money. And so apparently they abstained from exercising that power.
Well, Eustace Mullins, you've been looking at this for over 50 years now.
Yes, my book has been circulating since 1952.
Secrets of the Federal Reserve?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. So if you had to make some predictions, some forecasting, and after watching this for 50 years, in the next few years, do you have any idea how do you think this financial system and all this is going to play out? What if you had to guess? Did you have some opinions on that?
Well, I don't have an opinion, but the New York Times has been saying that the China and Japan have such large holdings of our national debt that they're planning to unload it. And they think that the Federal Reserve System will no longer have the power to be the world reserve currency. And when that happens, if they've stop that, then the price of everything that we use from abroad will double by four times.
I wonder why the people that have such firm grip and control of the financial system worldwide, as you explain with the...
Well, they've been in there from the beginning.
Yeah. Why would they ever allow a loss of that control with another currency?
Well, you would think they would want to maintain the control.
Yeah.
But it's out of their hands right now. It's entirely up to the government.
Up to who?
The government, or the Federal Reserve System.
Wait a minute, I'm not understanding you. It's up to who? The U.S. government?
Yes, you see, the World Reserve Currency, which the reserve backs up the price of everything in this country,
right,
is up to the discretion of the Federal Reserve Board.
Okay, so you're saying they could change it, but they're controlled by the banks, are they not?
Yes, they're part of the banks,
yeah.
Banking system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hmm. Well, you see, the original error was in giving the Federal Reserve System absolute independence.
Yes.
Because with absolute independence, they don't have to ask anybody how much money they can print or what it's going to be worth.
Mm-hmm. Or what they do with it as far as international exchanges, currency exchanges, swaps, and things like that.
Well, the International Bank of Settlements in Switzerland has the final say in that.
But this is part and parcel of the same people.
They're all the same people. They all cooperate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Federal Reserve Board of Governors in Washington, D.C., and I've been there many times, it's on 21st and the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open to the public. You can walk in, walk right in the front door. And there's a big marble, very elaborate, it's like a palace,
mm-hmm.
Elaborate staircase, which goes from the front door up to the second floor offices.
I'll be done. And you can go there and visit and see what they do.
I've gone there just to check on my books.
Uh-huh.
They have their own private library.
Uh-huh.
And the only thing they have in the library is the copies of my Federal Reserve book.
Oh, they do? Well, that's great. Well, Houston Smollins, we all wish you well, and you're going to continue. What you're telling me now, if I understand, that all your books are available on eBay. Is that right?
Yes.
And you have six of them, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, The World Order.
Yeah, I've distributed about 60 cases in the last week.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Just to people traveling around the country?
Yeah. And the Federal Reserve is thinking of issuing its own edition of 10 million copies.
Say that again, please.
The Federal Reserve Board is thinking of issuing its own edition. Of 10 million copies.
Of the Secrets of the Federal Reserve?
Oh, yes.
And why would they do that? What would be their motivation for that?
Well, in order that people could understand the Federal Reserve System. They did this a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
about 30 years ago, the Federal Reserve Bank and how it works.
Yeah, and you could actually go on some of their websites and they tell you exactly how money creation happens.
Oh, yes.
They're not secret about it, are they?
Oh, no, not secret at all. In fact, today, the Federal Reserve Board is open at Wednesday at 10 o'clock, and they have deliberations of the Federal Reserve Board to the public.
Hmm. Hmm.
And they did that in response to the fact that the Federal Reserve was considered too strict secretive about its operations. And so now they have public participation in the discussions. But I haven't been the president of those discussions because it's not very practical to me to go to Washington every week at 10 o'clock and participate.
Right, yeah, not very practical at all. So what's in your plans, your future, Eustace Mullins? Are you going to continue to travel around the country for a while?
I'm on this tour, and we're reviving the circulation of my Federal Reserve book.
Uh-huh.
And John Birch Society, John D. Rockefeller, has printed 10 million copies of my book without authorization. And it's
2 million copies.
And it's published under the name of The Creature from Jekyll Island, and I'm not mentioned anywhere in the book.
And who did that?
John D. Rockefeller.
John D. Rockefeller. You mean he used G. Edward Griffin's book's name?
The Edward Griffin book is published by John D. Rockefeller.
Really?
John Birch Society.
And that's mostly your book, you say?
That's entirely my book.
Really?
Word for word.
I hate it when that happens.
Well, I checked with the Library of Congress where my book is copyrighted, and they said that they have no enforcement provision to maintain the sanctity of a copyright. So apparently the book is out there and anybody can print it.
Well, that doesn't seem right, does it?
Well, that's an odd situation.
Yeah.
Because other things are patented in this country, and they're sacrosanct. Nobody else can use them. But my book is out there for anybody to print as many as they want to.
And it only seems right. You spent many, many years doing a lot of hard work and a lot of research that before.
Well, I did, because
before the internet, I mean, you were in the libraries, right?
Yes. When Ezra Pound asked me to go to the Library of Congress, he said, I'd like for you to find out what you can find out about the Federal Reserve System.
Really?
And I agreed to that, and I was amazed when I got to the Library of Congress, and they had no book on the Federal Reserve System. So I got busy and researched it, and I worked for about 3 years, and I finally found out with a complete history of the Federal Reserve System.
In the Library of Congress?
In the Library of Congress, yes. And that book today has been reprinted by the John Birch Society.
It's fixing to shut off again.
Oh, it's going to shut off again.
Well, we're fixing the wrap up anyway.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Mullins, it's been an honor to talk to you, and I hope that you get through the Texas area sometime so you and I could meet. And if there's anything that we can ever do for you, you know, please let us know. And folks can get your books on eBay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they said that right now, and then later on you're going to have a website that they can have, right?
Yes, they'll be available through that.
Yeah, okay.
My great-nephew has been very good about handling this book, and he's been handling it for about 30 years.
Yeah, I know he has. And what's his name?
Matt Mader.
Matt Mader. Well, Eustace Mullins, you take care of yourself, and you let us know if we can do anything, okay?
Well, certainly it was good to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you,
and
sir.
And nice to share this information with you.
Thank you very much. It's been an honor having you here. All the best to you and your health, and take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Eustace Mullins, my name is Patrick Timpone. He was there in the trenches with Ezra Pound in 1949 when they locked Ezra Pound up for his political ideals and wanting to stay out of World War II. Eustace Mullins had a stroke a couple of years ago, but still at it, and it's great to talk to people who are the real deal and to this day are doing their passion regardless of their handicaps and their problems physically or mentally or anything. Boy, they just keep right at it. And that's what we do here daily, OneRadioNetwork.com. I hope you enjoyed special presentation we had here of Eustace Mullins. Don't forget, every Wednesday at 10 a.m., Andrew Goss in The Real World of Money. And we talk about these kinds of things. And Mr. Goss learned a lot of his basic knowledge of the Federal Reserve System and all the rest of it from Eustace Mullins. I love you all very much, and it's an honor for me to be with you anytime that I can on OneRadioNetwork.com. This is Patrick Timpone. Till next time, take care of yourself. We'll be right back. The Source on One Radio Network.